Good morning.
Good morning.
We want to read together this morning from Paul's second letter to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll read the entire chapter and then we'll focus some attention on verses 10 through 17. Hear then the word of the Lord. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into the households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thus far, the reading of God's Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us your word. We thank you for this time that we can consider it together. We ask that you would open our hearts, open our minds, help us to hear your word and to obey and to be doers of your word, that you would be honored and glorified by our lives and the kingdom of God built up. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, some of the verses that we've read together are familiar. Some of these verses we've heard all of our lives, those of us that have been in the church. And yet some of this passage, I think, will not be so familiar because we focus so much on one part of it that we don't tie the whole together. And we have Paul writing to Timothy. I want us to remember that. This is a letter. Yes, it is Scripture to us, but it is a letter. It's a very personal letter from one man to a young man that he mentored in the faith. And I don't know about you, but there is, in recent history in my life, a letter that I think of that has particular meaning. It's very personal. It was a letter written by a niece of mine who at one point had struggled with her faith and whom my parents prayed for that the Lord would get a hold of her life. And she wrote a letter because she couldn't make it to my father's funeral. And it was a heart-wrenching letter because the Lord did get a hold of her life. And she understood what my parents stood for. My parents weren't giants in anybody's mind or imagination. They were simple people that the Lord drew to himself. My father was 48 when he came to the Lord. And she understood what just a man at that stage in life the kind of commitment it took for him to say, I've been wrong this whole time, and now I'm going to go this way. And she understood the testimony. And so she testified through a letter at my father's funeral. That's a very personal letter for me. This is a very personal letter. That's why I've titled this morning's message, Personal Pasts. It involves Paul's past and it involves Timothy's past. And Paul wants to remind Timothy that he struggled. And he's trying to encourage Timothy, a young man who's in the ministry. He's trying to encourage him to not be ashamed of who he is in Christ, to not be ashamed of the gospel, and to stand against those who would oppose the going forward of God's word. And so he begins by saying, you know what took place in my life. You see, Paul talks about Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. Timothy was from Lystra. I'm not going to go back and read, but go back and read what happened. If you go and start in, I think it's Acts 13 and read through. In Antioch, Paul had some success with the gospel. But up to a point, and then there was this wall, and there was opposition that developed in the Jewish synagogue. And in the end, they opposed him to the point where he had to flee for his life. And so he left Antioch. And he went to Iconium. And there again, he met with some success in the preaching of the gospel. But the guys back in Antioch got word that, well, Paul's moved on. And he's doing the same thing there that he did here. So the Jews that were opposed to him in Antioch moved over to Iconium. And they started raising up a crowd there against him. And it got to the point where Paul had to flee from Iconium. And he went to Lystra. And he met with some success there. I believe part of that success is his connection with Timothy. And why he can call Timothy to remember the kinds of things that he went through. Well, he was there for a little while, and then the Jews, not only from Antioch, but now from Iconium, that were opposed to him, come to Lystra. And here they have a little more success. They actually stir up a crowd enough to get their hands on Paul. They drag him out the city and they stone him and they leave him for dead. And it says that the disciples there gathered around Paul because they thought he was dead. But he roused up, to their amazement, I'm sure. And he moved from there to Derbe. And he proceeded to preach the gospel there. Paul is saying to Timothy, you know the doctrine that I preached. But he says more. You know the manner of life that I lived. And the two have to go together. Now, I think possibly there are certain points in a person's life when you could use yourself as an illustration. Most of the points in mine are an illustration in the wrong way. But Paul, for the second time here, is facing death. There's another time where he tells people that you have heard and learned these things from me, so do them. That was in Philippians. And he there was sitting in a Caesarea prison waiting to see whether he would live or die. And now again, he is waiting to see whether he lives or dies. And at this point, we know that it's soon to be dying. So he can say to Timothy, you know what I've preached. You know what I've lived. My manner of life. And you know that in all these things, I've done what? I've preached the gospel, yes. You know the purpose to my faith. If you look at this, there's a whole lot of P's in there and a couple of L's. You know, there's purpose, there's perseverance, there's persecution, there's patience, there's long-suffering, and there's love. Because Timothy is being reminded of Paul's life. What happens after Derby? It says that after done preaching in Derby, what does Paul do? He picks himself back up and he goes back and he visits the churches in Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. He not only survives what they throw at him, but he says you need to persevere. Because there were people there that needed to be encouraged in the faith. And he was willing to do it. And he's calling on Timothy to stand. Remember, you were there part of that time with me. And you know that through all these things, it's the Lord that delivered me. And so Paul's example of himself is not really trying to draw attention to himself. He's trying to draw attention to the Lord. It is God that is able to keep. It is God that enables us to live our lives in a manner that preaches the gospel. And Paul says a tough thing. All of us, Timothy, who desire to live for Christ, to live godly lives, will suffer persecution. That's a hard teaching. If you think about it, many of us on this side of the globe know very little about persecution. We were sharing earlier in our prayer time, praying for some women in Korea, one of whom paid with her life, another who's imprisoned and her family has disappeared. They were handing out Bibles. That's how threatening the Word of God is. Those who recognize that there is something that goes on when people really live their lives are threatened by the mere handing out of God's Word. And Paul is encouraging Timothy. Need to remember that when we work together, these things happened, but God has sustained me. He will sustain you. Don't be ashamed to face the persecution that will come. I don't know how that persecution may take shape or form in our lives. Certainly at this point in our history, it's not going to take the same shape or form as what Paul was talking about or what the church in Korea or other parts of the world are talking about. But we need to ask ourselves, what is it in my life that I do that sets me apart because of my Christianity, because of my Lord? Not just because I'm odd. There's nothing particularly endearing about being odd for the sake of being odd. Well, perhaps in some cases there are, but there's nothing necessarily eternally beneficial. But the way that I do business. We can be so concerned about I deserve this, or about my rights, or about whatever it is, that if we really, really stopped and lived our lives as Christians, there may be more of a cost to the way I do business, or to the way that I deal with my neighbors. So that perhaps I'm shunned from some job sites. Perhaps I'm going to lose to somebody who doesn't care how they go through a bid process, or doesn't care about making sure the workmanship isn't shoddy. Or perhaps it has something to do with the way that we raise our families. I don't know about you, but I know some homeschoolers that just for the fact that that was different enough have had the authorities called on them because they dared to do something that they thought was beneficial for their family. Now, I'm not preaching that everybody has to homeschool. But if you're not, I want to talk to you. No. Is there a difference between Christian education and regular education, if you want to call it that? Non-Christian education. There ought to be. If there isn't. Every part of our lives needs to permeate that we belong to Christ. That we live what we say. People ought to know that this doctrine that I claim to believe is actually lived. Possibly you've heard the saying, preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. We ought to live our lives in such a manner that our manner of life preaches our doctrine. We don't need to stand on the corner and say, I'm a Calvinist. Something that I was accused of before I knew who Calvin was. In some ways, I thank the Lord. Because it had to do with my searching the Scriptures to understand what Paul was writing at one point in one of his letters. So I had to go find out who Calvin was. In some ways, it's not such a bad stripe to be painted. There are far smaller shoulders you could stand on. Paul is warning Timothy and reminding him that evil men, imposters, will grow. And they will deceive and they will continue to be deceived. But if you go back to the beginning of the chapter, Paul says, if you continue in your faithfulness, their folly will be made manifest to all. And he uses as an example there of Jannes and Jambres who resisted Moses. Now the speculation is that these were two of the Pharaoh's magicians or sorcerers who countered Moses. They tried to match him when God was working miracles through Moses. Well, we know how that ended up, don't we? Moses bugged them a lot. Until they left. There are periods when it will seem that things get worse and worse. But we must never forget the hope that we have in the gospel of Christ. And that it is the Lord who delivers us all and who builds up the kingdom of God. And that's Paul's personal past, a little glimpse that he wants Timothy to remember. And then he switches gears in the second part of the second half of the chapter there, verse 14. And he calls Timothy to remember now his own personal past. You continue in the things that you've learned and been assured of. Well, there's a couple of things going on here. Yes, Paul taught Timothy. And he learned them. And he was assured in them. But it's more than that. Because we also know that Timothy was taught by his mother and by his grandmother. And so Paul is calling him to remember the teaching that he grew up in. A significant reminder for us, I think, that we continue to strive, to persevere, to teach our children to walk in the ways of the Lord so that they can be called back to their faith. Just as my niece was called back to the faith that she had been taught from the time that she was a child and had wandered away from and resisted. And Paul is saying to Timothy, remember, this is a very personal thing. You were taught, you learned, you were assured. And you need to remember the ones who taught you. Because they were faithful in what they did. And their teaching wasn't just their own. Their teaching from childhood was from the Holy Scriptures. Now we need to understand here a little bit of the background of the type of teaching, right? The teaching that these Jewish children would have received would have been their educational training based on the Scriptures. And so they were working on their reading and their writing, and they were working out of the Scriptures, learning these things, as well as learning the Scriptures. It was a full-orbed education, if you will. Which I think is an indicator why many of us have come to the position of the importance of Christian education for our children. It's what the Bible describes to us. There is no part of life that is not under God's control, God's influence, and we need to teach our children and remind ourselves to live in such a manner that there is nothing that is outside of God's domain. And there is, at this point, some debate as to whether Paul here is talking about, you know, in one point, because he mentions the Scriptures twice. Well, is Paul talking now about the Old Testament? And then he wants Timothy to understand that, you know, some of these new writings. I don't want to get into that whole debate. I think it suffices to say that, one, definitely the Old Testament was the Scripture they were using, but also, we have come to terms in church history with the fact that these letters, as well as the Gospels, have been added to become the complete Scripture that we now use today. And these Scriptures make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, which was the message that Paul preached, and which is the baton, if you will, that Paul is passing on to Timothy that he preached, and which is the thing that we need to preach with our lives every day. You want salvation? It's not going to come from another government program. Salvation is through Christ Jesus, who can redeem us. You want satisfaction? It's not by pursuing more toys. You want to serve someone? Put away your idols. Serve Christ Jesus. Now, most of us don't come across idols in the same way that they did. But let's not fool ourselves in thinking that there are no idols in our
day and age.
One, there are still religions that do literally bow down before physical idols. But secondly, there are many spiritual idols that people bow down to in our culture. And if we tell people that the only place that you need to bow your knee is Christ Jesus, we are challenging everything there is about their lives and the way they lived them. And that's going to get uncomfortable at times. And verse 16 is the verse that we are all so aware of. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You remember those Scriptures that you were trained in? You remember the Scriptures that we have before us today? How important they were in your childhood as you grew up? How important they are as we teach our children to grow in the Lord? If we use them wisely, they're good for correcting, for rebuking, for reproofing. They're good for training in righteousness. And I think Paul wants Timothy to remember that training and how useful it was as he was growing. But he wants to take that memory and he wants to yank it all the way up into Timothy's life now. And he wants to say to him, everything that was useful for all of that as you were growing up is pertinent and useful in your life now as a young man of God and as a minister of the gospel. And we need to be careful that as we grow or as we continue, that we don't set aside the things that have brought salvation to our lives. The training in the Scriptures, the rebuking and the reproofing of our lives, that we clutch on to those things as much as we mature, as we need to when we're immature as children and growing. Because Paul says, all of that is going to equip you as a man of God. It will make you complete. And you'll be equipped for every... what? I love this. For those people that have a trouble of tying Paul into James. Every good work. It's got to be evident by your life. And as Paul... you know, I picture him, Paul, when I was thinking of this, sitting down and writing to Timothy, or dictating, as it seems his eyes were going, and thinking to himself, what can I say to Timothy to encourage this young man? And then I think of Timothy on the other end, who's receiving this letter, and who's to share it with the churches. And I can see him sitting there one day reading it, and perhaps a co-worker or a friend. What are you doing? I'm just going over this stuff that Paul wrote to me. Remembering? Being encouraged? Remembering that Paul was faithful to the end because he paid with his life. You don't think that Timothy didn't pull out that letter and think of that years later? And that he wasn't encouraged
to be a man of God. We need to be encouraged. We need to be encouraged by this letter. We need to be encouraged with one another. To become the men and women of God that He desires us to be. That others will remember with joy and with earnestness to continue the faith so that the kingdom of God can be built up. The name of Christ lifted up. I don't normally give assignments. I'm thinking about this. And I was thinking, I'm not a big letter writer. I've written a few letters occasionally in my life. But I've been thinking about what would it look like if I sat down and wrote a letter to my children, to someone that I've tried to encourage in the faith. What would the assessment of my life look like? And what kind of encouragement would it be? I'm not saying we need to do that. I'm just saying, let's reflect. Often we just spend time looking at that one verse. And it's a worthy verse to remember. All Scripture is God-breathed. And that's why we base our lives on it. But let's not divorce that from the fact that this was two very personal men that were striving together side by side in the Lord. Flesh and blood striving together that the kingdom of God be built up. Let's do the same. Amen.